Certainly is good to be here this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone, appreciate the presence of those of you that are visiting. We're a small group, and as one sister says, we're small but a mighty group. And if we have one or two visitors, we're excited, and we're very excited to have this number with us this morning. I am going to change things a bit for the lesson this morning. If you had picked up a bulletin, I'm going to save that one for this evening, the need for a gospel meeting, because that's going to be geared more toward the members. And on Sunday evenings, I've been doing a series of lessons from Hebrews to tie in with the class on Sunday morning. So please open your Bibles to Hebrews 10, and we will begin there. Since I wasn't planning this, I do not have the PowerPoint that I was planning for this evening, but we're going to be talking about entering God's presence. So if you look up at that screen, just imagine a picture of the tabernacle, because that's what would have been going through these Hebrew Christians' mind about entering the presence of God. So let's start Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know, we encourage, and properly so, regular attendance to worship assemblies. And while we do that, we should not lose focus of why do we come together. We come together to honor God. We come together to honor God with our hearts and our lips, with our mind. Some people had gotten away from that in the time of Jesus, and they were not worshiping from the heart. You go back to the Old Testament with Israel and Judah, the northern and southern tribes, they forgot why they were coming before God. They forgot. And there is a warning there for us also. So we've looked in Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So we do not want to become hard of hearing or dull of hearing. And we need to see the condition of our heart when we come before God in worship to him. Our heart and spirit must conform to that which brings honor and glory to God. If it isn't, then we are no different than Israel was when Israel was taken off into captivity. So when we assemble boldly to enter the presence of God, to praise him and to worship him and serve him. That's what we just read in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. We come before the Almighty God with thanksgiving and song. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. So when we came today, did we come humbly? Did we come willingly and just thinking about Wednesday night when we were talking about Romans 12 and offering that sacrifice, offering our bodies willingly? Did we come willingly? And did we come with thanksgiving in our hearts? I've got to ask myself that. We are to assemble before the Lord and worship him. and worship Him acceptably because of what Christ has done for us. And so the more that we understand what Christ has done for us, that will help us when we come into the presence of God. You have here today a group of people, and that is good, and we have come together, and that is what we are supposed to do. But we need to make sure that we are coming for the right reason, the right reason. The Hebrew writer, as we read, said, "We do not want to become hard of hearing. We do not want to come for the wrong reasons." Well, how can we come into the presence of God? That is made possible because Jesus entered the presence of God for us as our sacrifice for sin. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." How was he able to do that? It was by his sacrifice. And again, the Jewish, the Hebrew Christians had in mind from generation after generation, when they would go to the tabernacle, they were going to the presence of God. They could not enter in there. The priest could enter, and then, as we have already said, only the high priest could go behind that veil to enter in to the presence of God. And you ever just stop and think about entering the presence of God? I don't think we do that enough. You know, if we want to go to heaven, and I hope all of us do, we are going to be in the presence of God. And that's going to be a very humbling experience to think about how mighty and powerful that God is, that He just spoke everything into existence. And we are lowly man that has sinned against His law. And we deserve to die. We deserve that place that He has prepared for those that do not obey Him. We deserve to be in torment for time without end. But we don't have to. And why? Because Christ made that sacrifice for us. He put away sin by sacrificing Himself. But now, once at the end of ages, He has appeared to put away the sin by sacrifice Himself. Hebrews 9:26. His body was prepared as an offering to God. In chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. "Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that he will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Didn't God want all of those sacrifices? Those sacrifices and offerings, they're listed over and over and over, and we see they were carried out. But he says, "You did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law." What did God want? God wanted our heart. He wants our heart. He created us to worship Him. If He has our heart, He has all of us. If He doesn't have our heart, Satan has us. So Jesus, we cannot come into the presence of God with a heart that is filled with sin or that has not been cleansed. And Jesus, what does Jesus do for us? He cleanses our heart. He cleanses our conscience from the defilement of sin. So we have this problem. We want to enter into the presence of God, but we can't do that because our heart is covered with sin. But Jesus comes along and he cleanses us. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Do we understand that without Christ, that we would have no hope? We would have no hope at all. How can we approach God today? It's only through Jesus and the work that he did to cleanse us of our sins. And again, you see, so many people think that they can approach God any way they want to. They think they're going to go to heaven. They think they're going to be like good friends with God. Friend, that is not who God is. That is not what God is. Well, this is why we go to Jesus, though, because of what he did for us. And in Hebrews chapter 13, and beginning at verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from those who serve the tabernacle, have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Again, under the old covenant, the people could not offer sacrifices for themselves. Jesus came to offer that sacrifice for us, and it was outside the gate. It was outside of Jerusalem where he was crucified, where that sacrifice took place. Verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. When Jesus, his closest followers, when he was crucified, what did they do? They fled. They left. We know John was there at the crucifixion, and Jesus' mother. A lot of people don't want to associate with Jesus and his crucifixion. But we are to go outside the camp where we meet Christ. We are to live a life where we will give up everything for the one that paid that sacrifice for us. He bore the reproach for us in the sacrifice that he made to God for us. And we bear his reproach by the life that we live. We owe him that. We owe him that. Jesus has offered a sacrifice for us. So what do we do? Back in that verse again. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Christ offered that sacrifice to us, so we come together continually to offer the sacrifice of praise. What do we do when we do that? That one of the things that should help us to understand the reality of what has taken place. You know, Nella was asking me this morning about, she mentioned a conversation she had with somebody, and the person asked her, well, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? And I just told her, we're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be worshiping God for time without end. Why? Because he's worthy of that. He's worthy of that for what he has done for us. Jesus and his service, he came before God as high priest. And Jesus is the better high priest than that of the old covenant. He entered heaven and to appear in the presence of God for us. If Christ had not entered heaven to appear in the presence of God for us, we would not be able to enter in the presence of God. That's part of the concept of this high priest under the old law offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. And our high priest is so much better. So now we can enter God's presence. If Christ hadn't done that, if we don't understand the magnitude of that sacrifice that he made, we do not understand what worshiping God is all about. And we enter God's presence, and as I said earlier, it would be very humbling. But what does the Hebrew writer say? What did he say back in chapter 6? This hope, in verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. And in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Is there anybody here that does not need mercy and does not need grace? We all need it. We all need it. Where are we going to get it? We're going to get it from God, from drawing near to God, from coming into his presence with prayers for mercy and grace and forgiveness and strength and wisdom for ourselves and for others. So back to chapter 10, what does he say in verse 22? Let us draw near with a heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we want to draw near to God. We can do that boldly. Sometimes you see some people have the attitude, you talk about going to church and, oh, do I have to? I don't want to. I've got this and that going on. Friends, we should want to draw near to God and be in a relationship with him where we can boldly come before God. How do we do that? With a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart, a genuine heart, not in pretense. Did Israel and Judah, did they draw near to God? They did with their sacrifices, but their heart was far from him. So we draw near with a true heart, with a full assurance of faith. We have that assurance. We have that assurance from the sacrifice that Christ has made. And with cleansed hearts. Our hearts, we must be converted. We must be baptized. We must be washed. And then we can draw near to God. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You see, some people become Christians, and then what? They're excited, and then what happens? They don't hold fast. They don't hold fast. Faithful obedience from the beginning to the end. We hold fast to our hope in God's promises, not with a sluggish neglect. And what does that show? That shows a lack of faith in God. And as we've been going through the sermons on Sunday evening about faith and building faith, and we know without faith it's impossible to please God. So what does he say then in verse 24? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So you see how he's like a lawyer making arguments. And now he says, so because of this, so let's consider one another how to stir up love and good works. Well, how do we do that? He tells us in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So when we come together, what do? We have prayers. We sing. We lift our voice in song to God. We give. We have a part in doing the work of the church in this area. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We remember that sacrifice that was made for us, that price that was paid that we could not pay. And we open His Word and we read His Word to see what God would have us to do. This is why we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And God has designed it so that when we come together, it will build us and make us stronger. This is a demonstration of our diligence in serving God, holding fast. Do we have an opportunity to hold fast? Every first day of the week, for sure. And when we hold fast, what's that going to do? It's going to strengthen us to enable us to keep on going so that we can enter the presence of God after the day of judgment. So when we come to this building, and again, you think of that nice picture of the tabernacle on the slide up there. It's not like going to this tent where the presence of God was. When we come, we need to think not about coming to this building, but we need to think about being in the presence of God. And let me say that again. We need to think all the time about being in the presence of God, because that's what we want to prepare ourselves to do. Prepare ourselves to be in His presence. And this is part of what this says about why we come to worship service. Again, we're going to be worshiping God around His throne for time without end. And being here, this is just like we were talking about the types and shadows and copies of things to come under the old law. That's what we're doing this morning. This is just a shadow. This is just a shadow of heaven to come when we are worshiping God. And our hearts should be lifted with joy that we can do that instead of the alternative. What if we didn't have a priest? What if we didn't have a high priest that could offer that sacrifice for our sins? Friends, we don't think about heaven and we don't think about hell enough. We think about what's going on in Washington, what's going on in the storms, what's going on at the stock market, what's going on with that person at work and whatever they're doing. We think about everything, and we need to be focused on heaven, and we need to be thinking about entering God's presence. So, again, why did we come here? We have a social gathering here, but this is not why we came here. We came here to worship God. We came here to worship God. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations." Friends, we come together to enter the presence of God, to worship him for what he has done for us. We want to go to heaven so that we can be in his presence. And again, I'm reminded of Moses. Moses, he was human like all of us. He had sin in his life, but he really loved God. And what did he keep asking God? He wanted to see God. He wanted to see God. Do I love God enough that I think about that? God, I want to see you. And God gave Moses the opportunity to see him in a way, not fully, not directly. And even with that, when Moses got to see God partially, Moses was changed. There was something different about his face, and there was something different about his heart. Moses' heart was changed, and his face shone with the glory of God. When we come into the presence of God, we should be changed also. And we should be changed when we come in to an assembly to worship God. We're talking about entering the presence of God. And hopefully one day we will enter his presence in heaven itself. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to enter his presence? I've got a short story to tell you, and then the lesson is yours. There is a farmer down south, a rich farmer, had a big farm in town. Everybody knew him. They had the funeral service. Everybody was there. He employed a lot of people from the town. And the preacher, he just preached him right into heaven. He preached him right into heaven. And after the service, one of the hired hands went up to the preacher and he said, "Preacher, did you know Mr. Brown?" "Well, sure, everybody knew Mr. Brown. Why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, I don't think he was planning on going to heaven. I don't think he was planning on going to heaven." And the preacher said, "Why not? Why don't you think he was planning on going to heaven?" And the hired hand said, "Well, when Mr. Brown, when he would go to town to buy seed, he would talk about that days ahead of time. He would talk about making that trip to town to buy seed. When he would go to the Capitol, sometimes he would have to go to the Capitol to do business, and he would talk about that weeks ahead of time." And he said, "When Mr. Brown would go on vacation, he would talk about that months of time. He wanted everybody to know that he was going on vacation." And he said, "But preacher, I never heard Mr. Brown talk about going to heaven." Do we talk about going to heaven? Do people know we are going to heaven? Friends, we need to think about where our heart is and honor God, submit to him, worship him, because we all want to go to heaven, but we have to understand what is required in order to do that. We have to understand that great sacrifice that Christ made so that we can enter his presence. If there's anybody here this morning that wants to do that, but you haven't been washed, you haven't been cleansed, your heart isn't clean, it's defiled, it needs to be cleansed. And the only way you can do that is by repenting of your sins and being baptized and then living a faithful life and holding fast to that confession. Or if you've done that and there's sin in your life, you need to make it right, because we cannot enter into God's presence with sin. If anybody needs to respond to the gospel invitation this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.